From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and then to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then listener, happy listening.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo said, technology makes resources unlimited. Indonesia to explore financial market and obligation. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo was one of the speakers at the World Economic Forum WEF of Asian held in Hanoi, Vietnam on Wednesday, September 12, 2018. On the occasion, he took an example, the uncertainty of the current world economic conditions similar to that of Marvel Avengers, Infinity War, where unlimited war appears. There is a figure named Thanos threatening to destroy half of the Earth's population because he believes that the planet Earth's resources are limited. However, President Joko Widodo dismissed the end of this storyline by asserting that resources for human welfare are unlimited. He also viewed that these resources are not limited due to the technological development that have increased efficiency and provided people with more resources. President Joko Widodo exemplified the technological development that have occurred over the past few years.
In just the last 12 years, the total weight and volume of television sets, cameras, music players, books, newspapers, and magazines has been replaced by the likeness of smartphones and tablets.
President Joko Widodo further exemplified how coal-fired power plants that require a large enough place and produce pollution have been replaced by thin and light solar panels that do not produce pollution. Before a number of leaders of friendly countries, President Joko Widodo also explained that the current increase in the economy is driven by not only natural resources, but also unlimited number of human resources. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati was one of the speakers of the World Economic Forum for Asian in Hanoi, Vietnam on Wednesday. At the forum, she said that Indonesia has learned a lot of experiences from economic crisis that happened in 1997, 2008, up to 2013. Therefore, she pointed out that Indonesia will keep on trying to explore financial market and obligation amid global uncertainty that makes many exchange rate currencies of developing countries, including Indonesia, weaken towards US dollar.
So we learned quite a lot from what we experienced back in 97, 2008, 2013, and now. Corporate level debt in Indonesia is considered very low. Household debt is also very low. Government debt below 30%. So basically, if you look at the fundamentals, the indicator is not saying that you are reckless and that's why you are susceptible. It is not. The psychology, people can say that Indonesia need to deepen the financial sector, which I fully agree on that. And that is within the context of the program, we try to deepen our financial and bonds market in Indonesia.
Minister Sri Mulyani further stated that the fact of US dollar exchange rate to rupiah is not on debt, but on current account deficit or CAD. Moreover, the government is also trying to overcome the dynamic of global economic turmoil by making policy that observes psychological factor or market sentiment and communicates actively the policy to the stakeholders. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Xuan Phuc discussed a number of issues, including the challenges of the 4.0 Industrial Revolution. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo, during a meeting with Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Xuan Phuc in Hanoi on Wednesday, expressed his hope that in the future, the two countries can strategically partner to deal with the global economic situation and the challenges of the Industrial Revolution 4.0. In addition, President Joko Widodo also hopes that Vietnam can enhance cooperation and collaborate in the development of the creative and digital economy in the region. President Joko Widodo also appreciated the confirmation of the Prime Minister of Vietnam to attend the Asian Leaders Meeting in Bali on October 11. The President said that the meeting is very important amid the increasingly uncertain global economic situation. The meeting also becomes the right momentum for Asian to be able to speak more to the world. President Joko Widodo welcomes the cooperation between Indonesian and Vietnamese parliament that need to be improved from time to time. President Joko Widodo, as pointed out by Deputy for Protocol, Press and Media at the Presidential Secretariat, P. Mahmudin, in an official statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that Indonesia-Vietnam good parliamentary partnership would enrich the Indonesia-Vietnam strategic partnership relationship. The President's hope that parliamentary cooperation can also promote democratic principles in the region. President Joko Widodo, during a state visit to Vietnam, met Speaker of the Vietnam National Assembly, Nguyen Thi Kim Ngan, in Hanoi on Wednesday. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo affirmed three issues related to relations between the two countries. In addition to the issue of inter-parliamentary cooperation, President Joko Widodo also expressed the strategic partnership relation that need to be strengthened. One of them is that the action plan for the implementation of the Indonesia-Vietnam Strategic Partnership for the 2019-2023 period has been signed. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo met Sri Lankan Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe on the second day of his visit in Hanoi, Vietnam on Wednesday. As reported by the Press Bureau of the Presidential Secretariat on Wednesday, at the meeting, President Joko Widodo followed up on what had been agreed on during his visit to Colombo in January, mainly in the area of trade. Indonesia and Sri Lanka jointly cooperate to export apparel to the European Union. In addition, President Joko Widodo expects the formation of working group between the two countries in the field of trade and investment to immediately identify the potential and overcome obstacles in both fields. To Prime Minister Ranil, President Joko Widodo also encouraged that a joint feasibility study related to efforts to establish a free trade agreement between Indonesia and Sri Lanka could immediately begin. He also affirmed Indonesia's commitment to support development in Sri Lanka. In the field of connectivity, President Joko Widodo noted Sri Lanka's interest in buying 60 train cars from PT Kereta Api Industri, Inka. Second Sustainable World Parliamentary Forum held in Badung, Bali on Wednesday will encourage government of Indonesia to utilize renewable energy and reduce the use of fossil fuels. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Speaker of the House of Representatives Bambang Susatyo at the forum, attended by 40 parliamentary representatives, said that to change fossil fuels with renewable energy such as solar, water and wind power is increasingly urgent. He also encouraged each government to issue policy related to changing fossil fuels to be renewable energy. He approved that changing renewable energy faces many challenges, such as huge budget for research and equipment, and mastering technology is still poor. Now Indonesia has started encouraging electric power from renewable energy in many regions that have potential, and electric from coal is changed with solar energy. Member of the Indonesian Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Board, Putu Supatma Rudana, said that Bali, where the World Parliament Forum for Sustainable Development meeting will take place, is to inspire the World Parliament in a bid to implement the spirit of the concept of renewable energy. In his written statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, he stated that Balinese people have a living concept in their daily lives. One of them is how human and nature coexist to receive blessings from their creators, or what is known as the cosmological concept of Trihita Kirana, which is a formidable philosophy of life for Balinese people. According to him, the philosophy has a concept that can preserve cultural and environmental diversity in the midst of globalization and homogenization. Putu Supatma Rudana also explained that the essence of three Hitakaranas teachings emphasize three human relations in life in the world, such as traditional Balinese or Subak rice filled irrigation systems that are nature-based rather than exploiting them, so that this is natural energy that needs to be voiced that the world community has not yet known. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
สวัสดีค่ะ My name is Veeraj Sakhonpan I'm director of Radio Thailand World Service Happy 73rd anniversary of Radio Republic of Indonesia May our two cooperation on radio will last forever
Commentary Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is A New President Director of Garuda Indonesia Committed to Lowering Garuda's Losses. On Wednesday, 12 September 2018 in Tangerang, Banten, based on the Extraordinary General Meeting of Stakeholders, Igusti Ngurah Akhara Danadiputra or Ari Aksara officially served as President Director of PT Garuda Indonesia, replacing Fahala Mansuri. Throughout 2017, PT Garuda Indonesia suffered loss worth 213.4 million US dollars, equivalent to 2.88 trillion rupiah. In 2016, Garuda managed to record a net profit worth 9.4 million US dollars, or around 126.9 billion rupiah. The losses during 2017 were due to increased spending by 13% from 3.7 billion US dollars to 4.25 billion US dollars, mainly due to an increase in the fuel cost by 25% from 924 million US dollars to 1.15 billion US dollars. Ari Aksara has a target to reduce PT Garuda Indonesia losses to less than 100 million US dollars at the end of 2018 by closing the operating cost leakage gap, optimizing favorite routes, opening good economic value routes, and improving employees' performance. From 2013 to 2018, Aksara was a director of a number of companies such as Director of Finance and Garuda Risk, and lastly in 2018 he served as a President Director of PT Pelindo III. Aksara will involve all employees and regulators in achieving the target. Part of his experience at Pelindo III will be applied in Garuda. One of them is the transformation of human capital. Because Garuda Indonesia is engaged in the service sector, employees' happiness is very important so that service to passengers increases. Furthermore, he will attempt to increase revenue by creating new routes at separate points of foreign tourist houses and optimizing the old domestic routes compared to international ones. To reduce operating costs and prevent inefficiency, there will be renegotiation of incoming aircraft leases, especially for narrow-body and wide-body existing flights in a bid to extend the lease period. So the monthly rental fee will decrease by 10 until 20%. Amid rupiah's worsening condition and rising oil prices, the next step to be taken is redefining cost structure, changing and improving operational cost. Along with other directors such as Commercial Director Fikri Ilhamd Kurniansa, Director of Cargo and Business Development, M. Iqbal, Operation Director Bambang Adi Surya, Director of Finance and Risk Management Fuad Rizal, HR Director Harry Ahyad, Technical Director Iwayan Susena, and Service Director Nicodemus Lampe. Area Sahara with the support of the stakeholders. As you say, shareholders will try to realize the achievement of the target to reduce PT Garuda Indonesia losses to below $100 million by the end of 2018. With the experience of leading various divisions and various companies, along with the management of New Garuda Indonesia, Ari Askara's strong commitment is expected to become a reality instead of writing on paper with the support of various parties. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on September 13, 1993, about Oslo Peace Agreement. Peace Agreement, or officially called Temporary Declaration of Principles for Facilitating Self-Government, was agreed in Oslo, Norway on August 20, 1933, and officially signed in Washington, D.C. on September 13, 1993 by Mahmoud Abbas, who represented PLO, and Simon Peres, represented by Israel. This was witnessed by Warren Christopher from the United States of America and Andrew Kasarev from Russia before U.S. President Bill Clinton and Prime Minister of Israel Yitzhak Rabin with the help of PLO Yasser Arafat. Under the agreement, Palestine began to get authority to rent at the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Even Palestine could form devices of government, police, parliamentary and another government institution. For the reply, Palestinian Authority have to promote tolerance against Israel and recognize the right of Israel to exist. On September 28, 1995, Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat signed Israel-Palestine Interim Agreement. In the next event is that in 2000, a bomb exploded at parking lot of Jakarta Stock Exchange. Jakarta Stock Exchange building on September 13, 2000 was struck by explosion of powerful bomb. Because of the explosion, the main lobby was destroyed severely enough and made workers panic to run out of the building. 15 people were killed and 90 injured. The explosion made the trade at the Jakarta Stock Exchange directly stopped. Only in 12 days, the perpetrators of the explosion could be known. And the last event is that in 2007, it was about Declaration of United Nations on the Rights of Traditional People. The Declaration of United Nations on the Rights of Original Population is a declaration which was legalized by General Assembly of the United Nations in the 61st session in New York on September 13, 2007. The declaration underlined the rights of individual and collective of natives and the rights on culture, identity, language, job, health, education, and other issues. The declaration also emphasized the rights to maintain and strengthen institution, culture, tradition, and the rights on development to fulfill their need and aspiration. The declaration also prohibited discrimination on natives and improved their participation fully and effectively in all things which involve their problems and their rights to be still different and to seek vision of their own economic and social development. Although the declaration is not legally binding as other declaration of General Assembly, the declaration describes dynamic development of norms and international law and reflects commitment of member countries of the United Nations to move to certain directions. The United Nations describes it as important standard for treatment against natives around the world, which certainly will become important tools in eradicating violations of the human rights against 373 million natives in the world and help them to fight against discrimination and marginalization. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll bring you a topic about Indonesia proposes joint research on the impact of rising the South China Sea water level. Indonesia proposed joint research on the impact of the South China Sea water level for coastal areas caused by climate change. The proposal was presented in the 40th Working Group meeting on the study of tides and sea level change and their impacts on coastal environment in the South China Sea affected by potential climate change held in Manado, North Sulawesi on September 8. The meeting has agreed various new cooperation potentials related to study and research on the impact of current and sea level changes to the coastal environments as an impact from the climate change. That was said by Head of Study Center and Multilateral Policy Development of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Dindin Wahyudin, in a press statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Monday, September 10. The meeting was organized by Indonesian Geospatial Information Institution along with Southeast Asia Study Center, supported by Policy and Assessment Development Agency of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The meeting was attended by 42 participants from Indonesia, Brunei Darussalam, Cambodia, China, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Taiwan. The meeting has also identified various potential cooperation areas such as method of research and the data collection, adaptation and mitigation, study on impact of the rising water level, sharing knowledge about community resilience on the rising sea level, as well as regulation development. The working group also discussed the study on ocean energy of and ocean debris. The meeting is an integral part of the 20th workshop of conflict potential handling in South China Sea, which was also held in Manado on September 9-10, 2018. The series of meetings and workshops were a diplomatic effort to build trust among all interested parties in the South China Sea and to create concrete and close cooperation in order to maintain peace, stability, and prosperity in the region. That was My Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is Newsline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Xuan Phuc discuss a number of issues, including challenges of the 4.0 Industrial Revolution. President Joko Widodo welcomes the cooperation between Indonesian and Vietnamese parliament that need to be improved from time to time. President Joko Widodo met Sri Lankan Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe on the second day of his visit in Hanoi, Vietnam on Wednesday. Second Sustainable World Parliamentary Forum held in Badung, Bali on Wednesday will encourage government of Indonesia to utilize renewable energy and reduce the use of fossil fuels. Member of the Indonesian Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Board, Putu Supatmarudana, said that Bali, where the World Parliament Forum for Sustainable Development meeting will take place, is to inspire the World Parliament in a bid to implement the spirit of the concept of renewable energy. Listener, that was News in Brief of our Aerial World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nugu Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Semua yang kami angkasawan RRI. Hi, listeners of Radio Republik Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Johanna Bismarck-Skoog, Ambassador of Sweden to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 73rd anniversary to Radio Republik Indonesia. And may this coming year bring more peace and prosperity to all of you, wherever you are. Sekali di udara tetap di udara, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Gumprengan ritual. Stay tuned. Listener, animals such as cow and buffalo are very meaningful for farmers. These animals are widely used to help farmers in the rice field. Therefore, farmers hope their livestock are always healthy and continue to breed. The hope is visualized through ritual which is called the Gumprengan ritual. In addition to praying for healthy and breed, the ritual is also an expression of gratitude to God Almighty. Moreover, the ritual is held to strengthen the kinship between communities regardless of their background. Gumprengan ritual is still preserved from generation to generation by people in Pokoh village, Delingo, Bantul, Yogyakarta. This year, the Gumprengan ritual was performed by parading cows, goats, and gunungan or piles of food to form mountains around the village. The local community paraded the decorated animals like brides on the front line, followed by gunungan, art performance, and the village figures. The procession was directed to the field accompanied by reog and dogger music instruments. After they arrived, dozens of livestock were placed in the shade area, waiting for the ceremony to begin. During the ritual, people gathered in the field and usually bring white rice tumpeng or a cone-shaped rice dish and gudangan. Gudangan is boiled vegetables mixed with grated coconut. Then the citizens take water from the shower with a container to the livestock place. The water is splashed into livestock by using dadap sirap leaves. Dadap sirap leaves are believed to provide a sense of calm in animals, even the leaves are still widely used by local people for traditional treatment. Then the community figures and the local residents prayed for gudangan rice. The owners of livestock provide rice for the animals. Listener, on the sidelines of Gumprengan rituals, the local residents were also entertained by traditional dance performances from a local studio. While in the evening, a leather puppet show would be held. This unique ritual continued to be preserved from generation to generation by the local government since it can give more attraction values for tourists, especially if the ritual is packed better. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Gumprengan Ritual. We will meet again with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Bye for now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017. Stay tuned. Toba is one of the biggest lakes in Indonesia, situated in North Sumatra. This lake has been acknowledged as the deepest and biggest volcanic lake in the world and the second biggest lake after the Victoria Lake in Africa. Not only that, another uniqueness of Toba Lake is its location in Samosir Island of about 64,000 hectares wide in the middle of the lake. Toba Lake is a complete natural tourism destination, geopark, and water sport with its unique culture. This lake will continue to develop its potency. One of them is by stating the lake as the 10th priority tourism destination. Besides infrastructure will also be built. Several tourism promotions have also been held to boost tourism visit in the area. One of them is Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival. Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017 will be held in Baligay, Toba Samosir Regency, North Sumatra on September 9-10, 2017. The carnival is an annual agenda to strengthen Indonesian unity and bring it to the world. It is hoped that in 2019, Toba Lake can attract 1 million tourists. This event also targets to give domestic regional products revenue worth 16 trillion rupiah and to employ 300,000 people. This will increase people's welfare. This carnival will be participated in by 2,000 people. 500 of them are the core participants to have a ceremony of menjunjung tanduk. Tanduk is a plate filled with rice that is usually held on the Batak woman head. There is also a trumpet. The carnival also varies with boat parade in Toba Lake. The parade will cover 3.5 kilometers from Soposurung to Balerong. The carnival line will end in Balerong Traditional Market, a beautiful market consisting of 6 buildings decorated with Gorda Batak sculpture. Besides, tourists can also visit several tourism objects around Lake Toba. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the theme Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present nostalgic pop songs from Diana Nasution. Let's listen to the first song entitled Benci Tapi Rindu by Diana Nasution. Happy listening.
That was the song Benci Tapi Rindu by Diana Nasution. The song was composed by Rinto Harahap, which raised the name of Diana Nasution in the Indonesian music industry. The song tells the story of a woman who loves her partner, although the man breaks his promise. Well, listener, now we continue the music corner with the next song entitled Malam Yang Dingin by Diana Nasution. Happy listening.
malam yang dingin dan sesunyi ini, teringat aku akan dirimu sayang. Hanya engkaulah kasihku seorang.
You just listened to the song Malam Yang Dingin by Diana Nasution, a legendary singer from Indonesia. She started her singing career since the 1970s. Initially, she joined in a duo group along with her sister Rita Nasution. The duo group called Nasist stands for Nasution's sister. However, Nasist had to disperse because Rita Nasution decided to concern in her solo career. Despite vacuum, in 1977, Diana Nasution joined with Melky Goeslaw to follow the National Singer Festival. The duet of Diana and Melky won the second place in the event, thanks to the song Bila Cengkeh Berbunga and Malam Yang Dingin, composed by Minggu Stahito. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Jangan Biarkan and Kau Bukan Milikku. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now.
Hujan turun membasahi bumi atau bulan yang tiada berseri. Biarkan daku seorang diri.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Go! Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Usapan dan lembut senja ini meminta kisah nan terulang. Suatu kisah indah bahagia terdampar di dalam lamunan. Seraut wajahmu penuh manja terlukis dinding di hatiku. Derita mencekam di kalbuku dikala ku sadar mimpiku. Musim pun berganti petaka tiba, desir bayu berganti deru menghempas menuju keji. Tiada bisikan kata indah menghibur hatiku dalam duka.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Mekar dalam nestapa
you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.